Good morning, church. How are you doing today?
Amen.
As you can notice, we are preparing for VBS. Tomorrow we will start doing our VBS, and we hope to have a lot of kids from our communities. So if you have a neighbor or somebody who have a children between the age of 4 or 10, you know, please invite them. We want to have them here. We have a prepared program. Every year we're trying to figure it out, to have an idea how many kids we will have, you know, to prepare accordingly, but it's really difficult. So we don't have a clue. Last year we were expecting like 20 and we get like close to 60. And so we don't know what we'll have this year, but whatever the Lord brings, we will be really grateful. Also, Becky mentioned, if you notice, or you hear her, in our property, they begins the site development. So they start construction there. So if you have a chance and you want to take a look for this process, you can go and stand by. It's been a long time that I haven't been here. I want to tell you also that this week we were having a conversation with Larry, the person that is helping us with construction. And one of the things that we're expecting the county to allow us to do is to build the church and maybe go without having a paved parking lot in a temporary basis. But in order to do so, you need to get a permit from the county. We submit the permit, but then we remove it because we thought it will take forever, you know, to get the permit. And now we are going back to the county. So we will see. The meeting is August 10, and we hope to get more news in reference to that. But everything is going according to schedule. So please keep praying about the construction, okay?
Amen.
This week has been a very interesting week, not only here in the U.S., but everywhere. If you have a few minutes to watch the news, you don't need a lot of time to get depressed. Yeah. You will get really, really sad really, really quick. Because it's bad news after bad news after bad news. And I was talking to somebody this week, and it's easy for us to get concentrated in the bad news, right? To pay attention only to the bad things that are happening around us. But what these bad things are telling you is that God is working, right?
Amen.
And the things that we think will take forever to happen, they are getting closer to us. So please pay attention to these social changes, because they are signs for us in the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? So today I want to talk to you a little bit about pain. We all carry pain, right, from different sources, from our childhood experiences, from our teenager years experiences, from bad relationships that we have that give us pain. Pain because we have, in occasions, difficult relationship with the family members, right? Some of you don't get really well with your families, and that create pain and suffering in your homes. Maybe we get stressed out because somebody is giving you a difficult time at work, or maybe at school for the younger ones, right? So there's different places, and you think that the little ones, they don't confront pain, but they suffer too, right? In a different way, in different levels. So how do you deal with pain? How do you get rid of pain? What is your opinion on how to deal with pain? Well, some people will say ignore, right? And move on. Others will say, well, confront it, the problem, and trying to see if you can have a resolution. And I want to use an example that is presented in the Bible because I think it's a very optimistic way in how to deal with problems and with pain. So please open your Bibles in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And remember, the book of Acts is telling us what happened to the apostles and the people who lived in the first century, right? How God was using them to spread the gospel and how they get many challenges. And in chapter 16, Paul and his companion arrived to a city called Philippi, right there in the Roman Empire. They were visiting the Jewish believers and trying to get people to listen to the message of the gospel and to get acquainted with the story of Jesus Christ. But the story goes that in verse 16, something happened there. Chapter 16, verse 16. This is what the Bible says. Now, it happened as we went to prayer, probably a Sabbath afternoon or a day of prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us and brought her master much profit by fortune-telling. This kid followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation," and she did this for many days. Now, what do you think about that event happening to you? I want you to picture this. You go to a city, you don't know anyone there, and then this person started screaming after you in public that you are a servant of God, that you are preaching the gospel the right way, the way of salvation. That will help you in your message, or that will create a distraction? What do you think? It will be a distraction? Or do you think it will be an assistance for your preaching? Well, when I read the story the first time, I thought maybe I will use this woman, commotion and all this distraction that she's creating, as an advantage, right, to continue preaching. Listen to what she's saying. I am really the messenger of God, right? But then when you continue reading later, you find out that the apostle confronts her and tell her to stop doing that. The following question is, why? Why this happened to her? Why Paul was doing this thing to her instead of encouraging to continue? So I was trying to wrestle with that idea, why he was stopping this woman from doing what she was doing. If you know Aiken and go from Silver Bluff and some of these roads, you will see some signs in the streets, right? Sister Hope, professional psychic, or what other title they use? Fortune teller, divination. And these people today, they claim to have powers, right? One of the powers that they have is that they can tell you what will happen to you in the future, right? And my question is, do you think that they had customers?
Yes.
A few customers. Or a lot? A lot of customers. Among them, some Christians, right? People who believe in God and believe in Christ go to these places. Why they go there? Russell, why people will go to a psychic if they are Christians? Maybe it's because they want to know the future, right? They want to know what will happen to them in a near occasion. A lot of them, they are afraid of the future, and they want to know so they can prepare ahead of time. And the other question that I will ask you, and probably you already know the answer, is that the majority of these people, they are imposters, right? They are fakers. What they are doing is just taking advantage of the naive and the gullible. And if you go there, you will be deceived and many other things. A few years ago, visiting Colombia in South America, I took my wife to do a small tour from the city, which I grew up. And in one of the parks in the city, we were taking pictures of an amazing church in there. And you had the pews and, you know, people walking by and taking a little break in the day. And this woman approached us. And I knew already who she was. But Denise, since she was educated here in the U.S., she didn't have a clue. She had a nice long dress and have a bandana, and she was telling Denise, "I can tell you the future," and without saying anything else, she grabbed her hand, right, and started reading the palm of her hand. So when I noticed that, I just grabbed my wife and started pulling her away, like, "Really? Let's go!" This person claims to be descendants of gypsies, and they will tell you that they know how to find out about the future. And I remember it was like a funny situation because they needed so that I was rude. You know, why are you rushing me like this? I want to say, no, don't even pay attention to their to what she's saying. I know she's trying to take advantage of you because you look different the way that you are dressed, and they know that you are not from here. And they do it when tourists and when people who go visiting in that city, right? But in the story that we are reading here today, we find out that this woman didn't have like a fake gift. Her gift was real. She had the ability to do divination. Now, the Bible tells you that the reason that she was having this divination gift is because she was possessed, right? Let's continue doing the reading here in Acts 16. Verse number 18, and this she did for several days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out at the very hour. But when her master saw what their hope, the prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So now you start seeing like a chain of events that are happening after this encounter. Paul is trying to help her, although she wasn't claiming or she wasn't requesting any help. But he knew that behind this gift was somebody controlling her. In fact, when you are reading the original Greek, the word that is used for divination is Python. Right? Somebody who had the spirit of Python. And I was a little concerned with that. You know, I'm trying to do more research. And I find out that in the old times, they used to have some people who worship a serpent. And this serpent gave them wisdom. Right? Now, for us as a Christian, as a reader of the Bible, the serpent doesn't always have like a good symbolism, right? Because when I start talking to you about a serpent who will speak to you and give you wisdom, what it comes to your mind? Right there, Satan, right? Genesis chapter 3. So we are aware of that kind of like symbol. But at that time, people was very serious about this, and they were traveled from city to city looking for these persons who have this gift. And they would pay good amounts of money to get their future predicted. Now, what was the condition of this young woman? Her social condition was that she was a slave, correct? So she was property. She belongs to what? To someone else. The people who owned her, I don't know how many, but I think it was more than one, they were really happy because they were making a lot of money through her, through that gift. It's kind of like in our time, somebody that is being prostituted, right? And have a pimp that is controlling them and abusing them. It's pretty much the same situation. The person doesn't have much to say. She's under control of these bad people, and she had to obey and give all the profits to these people. Now Paul is finishing the whole thing. And we go back to the question that I asked you before, why he was doing that. Why he was taking away that from her. Well, the reason is because although she was saying the truth, that they were messengers of God and that they were preaching the gospel, the way of salvation, her gift was a distraction. That was a way in how Satan continued exploring these people and taking advantage of their ignorance. So Paul is trying to present to them, listen, it's a God more powerful than this. And I know a God that will take care of this problem. Now, when I read the story over and over again, it's interesting to me to notice the reaction of the different people, right? The owners get really angry. Why? Why they get angry? Because it's a lack of income that they are losing, right? They are greedy. They don't really care for the human being. They just only care for what? For money. And because they get angry, they arrest these two and brought them in front of the justice system. Now, when you continue reading, you will get another clues in there in reference to the authorities and the customs of these people. Verse number 20, and they brought them to the magistrates and say, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. So what they are doing is creating problems. It's creating changes in our society. This is not the way that we used to live. This is something stranger for us. Continue reading. They are deceiving our people, troubling our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe. So now he is presenting a legal argument, right? As a Roman citizen, what she was doing is correct because she was doing the official Roman practices at the time. In fact, many of the Roman citizens used to send their little ones to schools to try to learn about divination and these secret arts. They used to have schools for that when they kill animals and cut animals to try to read the future and all these things. Welcome to the family. We are in Acts chapter 16, okay, in case you want to join us there, Acts 16. So they are using this argument to bring this accusation against Paul and saying, listen, this man is causing commotion in our city. He is being a distraction, and his customs, his teachings are being destructive for the religion that we have here. Now, Paul and Silas, they didn't have a lot of argumentation there. They get arrested, and if you continue reading, they have a big, really big hard time there, bad time. Let's go verse 21. And they teach customs that we are not lawful to us, to be in Romans, to receive and observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When you continue reading the story, you will find out that after that experience, they were sent to jail that night. So think about that. You go out to preach here in downtown Aiken, right? This Sabbath, today in the afternoon, because you are compelled to share the gospel. Then you get in trouble when some people there in town, they arrest you, they beat you, and they send you to jail. How do you feel about that? What do you think? That was a very successful day for you. Well, you can look at the situation in many ways, right? But if you are with Paul in jail, right, really hurt because they broke your back pretty much, beat you, and now deprived of all your rights in this dungeon there, that's a very depressing situation, right? I mean, if I came thinking of something more painful than that, I don't know. What else can be more painful than that? A very sad situation that even make you question, perhaps I'm not doing the will of God. You know, maybe I should review my ministry and start thinking and doing a ministry in a more safe way, you know, like we do today, sending letters, maybe postcards, or something less intimidating to the people of this town. Well, Paul, when you continue reading the story, one of the things that amazed me about Paul is how he reacted to this very difficult situation. Please. Exactly. Verse number 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So that's something kind of like strange in the character of this man, you don't think? That's something unique to the character of Paul. And that's pretty much my challenge to you dealing with difficult situations and painful situations, right? When we are being attacked, when we are under problems, when we are under very stressful circumstances, we can react in many ways. We can get angry, right? We can take action in our own hands and go and trying to change society. Now, pay attention that I'm not saying to you, ignore the things that are happening around you. Because we need to pay attention to what's happening in society, right? And it's always a right way to intervene in these events. But I'm saying to you as a Christian, these things can bring you down, can affect you in many ways. If you notice, our church, and one of the things that I love about this church is that we are a multiracial church. Amen. And to me, like I was talking to Sister Mina this week, this is a reminding of heaven, right? When we will see God's people from all the planet, different races, different cultures, all together praising and worshiping God. Because that's what God really wants, right? Every single human being is important to God. Today, when we are confronted in our nation with racial issues more than ever, things that we thought that were in the past, they are coming back again. And I have to tell you, it's because our nature as a human beings is bad. Jeremiah said that the human heart is very deceitful, right? It's corrupted. We have sin. We can behave and pretend to be good people, but bottom there in our hearts, we continue being bad. I will tell you that we can deal with pain with hate. That's a response that we can have toward pain, right? People that is doing damage or hurting me, I just react with pain and anger toward them. Now, let's go back to the story that the Bible is presenting to you. Why Paul was singing? Is because he was enjoying the pain? Is because maybe he was a little mental, you know? One of the rods hitting in the head and the guy was losing it, the marbles right there, you know? Why you will be singing among all this stress and pain? Well, dear brother and sister, I just want you to think about this. I feel like God can give his people the wisdom, the endurance to go through these difficult times. So now more than ever, we need to pray and ask God for that, right? How we will react to the things that are happening in our society. One of the things that the younger people criticize us from us as a church today is that we ignore what is happening out there. It's like we live in our own universe, that we don't care for the problems that they are happening in America right now. And I will say to them, to the contrary, we know what is going on there. But we are choosing in how to react to these problems, right? When you are listening to somebody that is expressing very hateful messages, when you are retweeting or facing or doing whatever you do in your social free time, be careful in how do you react, because people is always reading what you say or how you react to. You know, and I'll always be careful as a pastor, especially with my social accounts, what to say and how to say it, because it can be misconstructed and misused today. So to me, this experience, Paul singing in a jail, is a reminder that we need to have our faith in God, right? I can't imagine a worse situation than that. Probably Paul and his companion, they were thinking, this is getting worse and worse. But you know what has amazed me more than anything else? Continue reading the story. And you know the story probably for the previous encounters that you have with that. Now, when they, verse number 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and every one of the chains were loose. Now, explain that to me. I can't get the part of the earthquake, right? Because earthquakes happen everywhere. But what a coincidence that all the doors from this place were open, right? And not only all the doors were open, but the chains fell off. How did that happen? Very good. Do you realize that this is not like a natural event? This is something supernatural when God is intervening for him, right, for Paul. And he can just walk away and escape and, you know, see ya. We don't want to be ya. Losers. They don't want to be in this place anymore. May God bring more fire to you, right, when you get destroyed. But he didn't go away. He stayed there. And, you know, the consequences of him staying there is that the guy who was in charge of the prison, we don't know his name either, but the jailer, he and his family get acquainted with the gospel. They accept Jesus, and they become believers. So you have a very bad situation, a really, really bad thing happening, and God is changing this for the best, right? Amen. So to me, that's a good reminder that even today, in the year 2016, when we are living in very difficult times, and it's very intimidating to see the future of this nation, that God is still in control. Amen. Please remember that. That even when we don't see a good future for us, that we get a little scared and depressed, God is still in control. Amen. You know, we tell these things to the little kids, right? And we expect them to believe in this. But what about us as an adults? Do we really believe in these things? During this week, as you noticed, we have this cave. And one of the exercises is that we will get the whole church dark, you know. And we will give the little kids candles. and trying to ask them to get in here and illuminate this place, you know, with the message of the candle. And the representation is, you know, you and I preaching the gospel of Christ in this world that is in darkness. I think that today more than ever, God needs you. Today more than ever, God is expecting us to take the right stand. Maybe we don't have the power to change the society, but we have the decision to preach Christ to other people. You don't have the power to change their hearts or the decisions of their minds or how they will treat you, but you can ask God to give you the power to treat them well. And that's a very difficult thing to do. So may God continue giving you wisdom and encouragement, and God help us all to continue preaching in this town. Amen?
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, today we want to present our families to you. Lord, we also want to present our nation, the leaders of this country. We are asking you, O God, to guide us in these difficult times, not only here in the U.S., but everywhere. Signs of your soon return, O God. Help us, O God, to be wise and continue doing our work. Help us to react in a proper way to these difficult challenges. Today, we want to surrender our lives to you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Have a blessed day for everybody today. We'll see you tomorrow for VBS. If you want to join us, you are welcome.